Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So, Audrey, I'm so glad to be on air tonight. I can't wait to kick off tonight's show because, you know, I was just finishing reading our last issue of TEQ News magazine, and I always put the issue to bed. Usually the last thing that goes into the magazine is your president's message.
He has to dig it because he knows he's waiting to close the magazine until I give him.
I'm like, Audrey, where's your piece? I need to put it in the magazine.
He does really clever things. Like, he puts bold inserts in my calendar.
I do.
Like, at noon. Yep. Must be done.
Yeah. I'll text Audrey in the weekend. I'll be like, hey, Audrey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
I had an idea for your next president.
I'm laying on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm just chilling. Who are you?
Exactly.
I'm off duty.
No, I love it. No, we always get your piece just in the nick of time. And this particular time, I was kind of pumped about the piece that you wrote. And I think I really want you to be able to talk about this a little bit because I think our listeners would get a lot of value out of this. I mean, you set up the whole thing. I mean, Pittsburgh is making some really great moves in its tech sector, but we're really missing the mark when it comes to getting more women in leadership positions in the tech industry. We're seeing more of it in nonprofit areas and other parts of business, but not fully represented in the tech sector. So tell me, what's going on? What's going on?
But there's so many ways to sort of slice this, and there's no easy sort of remedy, I don't think.
Right.
I think what's really important is that when you have the sort of the technology and the innovation companies that are building, we have to look at where does that pipeline come from? Where were those people educated, or what are they passionate about? And is it in any of the sciences? Is it in, quote unquote, traditional technology? And you start to say to yourself, where is that pipeline and how is that reflected?
Right.
So the one piece that concerns me is that there's not enough women, as well as, people who are, quote unquote, underrepresented, that are building companies. So I question, where's the access? What's the problem? Is it education? Is it influence? Is it kicking enough people, pulling people forward? Is it that we just don't even know that people have ideas in their heads?
Right. Okay.
So, there's one dimension. And, hats off to Carnegie Mellon for making sure that their computer science program has half women.
That's
and,
a big deal,
half
too.
Men. Yep. And, they've making bold steps to try to transform that. And, we'll reap the benefits of that in 4 years. But you know what? Women have been going to college and graduating from college more than half the population who graduates and who stay in school are women. But then it drops off when it comes to participation in the workforce and participation in even leading companies or moving up through big organizations. So then you take Pittsburgh that doesn't have a lot of mid-tier companies these days. We have the big multinationals that are doing incredible work, lift the region, put us on the map. But we also have these small nascent companies. And what we're starting to see is most women who are starting companies aren't necessarily in tech per se. And they're really trying to build different kinds of companies. So that's not bad. That's wonderful. That gives people a lot of, opportunity to try new things. And tech, in and of itself might not be the only solution in terms of driving, the new economy. But what troubles me is that, and by the way, 2 weeks ago, there was a report that said Pittsburgh has a high percentage compared to the national of women on boards.
Really?
And so, yes, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
A few points up. And so my hat's off to all those companies. Now, we still have some companies that are quite large in their enterprises that have no one other than men, and even all Caucasian men that are on the boards. But put that aside, there have been market differences in terms of board representation. So that's exciting.
That's good news.
And what's really exciting is that it's more than one woman on a board. Usually when you start to get the ball rolling, the doors are starting to open and we're seeing more of that. So that's very exciting.
Definitely.
But if you look at the evolution of the last 35 years, as we've been looking at that at the Tech Council, you see that the pipeline hasn't been that strong in terms of women building companies at all.
Yeah.
At all in tech.
Every time we look through the magazine and say we want to cover some companies, we want to make sure that there's, where are the women starting some companies? And we always have a hard time digging them up.
Well, we tend to go to a lot of our tried and true, and there are some incredible women that have, built
core
companies.
Women,
and we know who they are. We try to highlight them. We try to make sure that we can throw them work, and we can try to surround them with access to what they need, and we're very intentional on that.
But outside that core, it's
harder outside
and harder to find
that
people.
Core, we're still not seeing that kind of proliferation.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the point of this is that it's 2018. We have a whole kind of movement that's happening across our society in the U.S. about people who think differently, people who want to make deep changes. We're looking at what does it mean to have a company that has social impact and try to understand what does flexibility look like in the workplace and how do people work. And what we find is that women tend to want and need a lot of flexibility and accommodation, not because they're not willing to work and do amazing things, but because we live full lives of very complex responsibilities, we've not been accommodated over time. And I'm not asking for like a fair shake. Listen, you know me.
Oh, for
I
sure.
work
no, no.
24/7, have raised a kid, have been married and divorced, and I'm not asking for any kind of medal. But what I am saying is that there's a new way that the expectations of how people engage and the work that they do and the impact that they have, that women lead the way very often in terms of demanding that, understanding that. And I think we have an interesting opportunity, particularly here in Pittsburgh, because we're smaller, we're a place where people can build things. It's easy to get access to some of the supports that you need, but there shouldn't be any reason today that the only proliferation of women that we see in our region at executive levels are ones who are in nonprofits.
Exactly.
And that is the trend that we do see in Pittsburgh, and that's probably mimicked around the U.S. as well.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Yeah, are there areas of our size
there's
like that?
More representation of women in
the nonprofits.
In nonprofits.
Right.
And maybe because it's so specific and mission-driven and the clarity of those roles is very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's leadership on these boards that know the importance of making sure that they're representing more than half the population. And maybe there's a lot more innovation and risk tolerance in that space. And, maybe it's just the fact that you actually can have a lot of influence by being in those kinds of settings rather than in some of these other settings where you're building capability.
Very cool.
I mean, I have a lot of hypotheses on this, Jonathan. I don't have all the answers. I certainly have been around long enough to know.
I think it's important that we're just talking about it and just kind of throwing it out there to get people thinking, because if you make it part of our consciousness, people start acting on it and actually getting outside of what the normal way of doing business has been. So many conversations. It requires everybody, and I guess it's one of those things that's not going to be solved overnight. I keep thinking it's just this whole the way culture has expected women to integrate into the workplace and how that's now changing, but it's going to take a long time for that to catch up. So people can
realize. Well, we have to be aggressive, and we have to be aggressive, and we have to be inclusive. Right?
Exactly. So, and I always go back to this. I just don't want any mind going to waste. I think there's so many opportunities to have brilliant minds building companies and growing things and doing fantastic work. I don't want anyone not having that opportunity. That's how I look at it. So
it takes all of us. It takes all of us
exactly
to do
right.
this kind of work.
Exactly right. So
and running a nonprofit or doing the kinds of things that many of us do, no matter what the status is of that nonprofit, is just as grueling work as it is in working in a corporation.
Absolutely, 100%. So I'm glad we're having these conversations. I want more of them here on Tech Vibe Radio. Tonight's show, Audrey, we've got a great group of guests stopping by tonight. We have Sparkbox coming by.
Ah.
Yes. We also have Phase 4 Learning. They're working with Best Buy to really help get kids like excited about education.
I know.
And
that's
STEM
sort of
stuff,
cool.
I think
that's
it's
really
a lot
cool.
of fun.
I know.
And I have my special podcast that I did with the NCFTA, the National Cyber Forensics Training Alliance, talking about the latest trends in cybersecurity. We're actually going to do like a little ongoing little podcast series you can download from pghtech.org. We're going to be talking about all types of cybersecurity issues over the summer. So look for more content on pghtech.org and pghtechviews.com. Lots of fun stuff going on, Audrey. I cannot wait to get our gear in top gear, should I say. Get our show in top gear tonight. So anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you're spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. It is time well spent as we talk to the greatest people in Pittsburgh's tech sector here. Even when they come from Ohio, we like them coming in and talking to us about what's going on because they often have some Pittsburgh presence going on. So we have Sparkbox with us, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to
hey
be here.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
Doing real well. Thanks
That's
for having
great.
Us.
Great. No, we're happy. So let's talk about what you're up to, where you come from, why you're here, how much fun you're having.
Yeah, introduce yourselves to our listeners. So, Leah, Ben, let's start with you.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Ben Callahan. I am the president of Sparkbox and one of the founders. You know, like you mentioned, Ohio is kind of where I live, but we opened an office up here. So
we're glad you did.
Love coming into Pittsburgh. Yeah,
absolutely.
And
yeah. I'm Rob Haar. I'm vice president at Sparkbox, also one of the founders. We're from lovely Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Where Sparkbox HQ still is, but...
Well, University of Dayton's doing some really interesting things in entrepreneurship.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. They've got quite a nice setting over there, and they're doing some really interesting things. We actually hosted them not that long ago, maybe a year
cool.
ago.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They're president, and they wanted to know what was happening here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So cool. Tell us about Sparkbox. What is Sparkbox?
Sparkbox is 41 brilliant people.
I love it, man.
And that's really kind of how we think about it, is it's about the people. We have designers, developers, UX researchers, project managers, content strategists, all the folks that are needed to build great products with web technologies. So
gotcha.
We're really a custom software shop, mm-hmm. But we do a lot of things with a lot of big organizations and a lot of things with some smaller ones.
What kind of problems? So like if people are listening, why might they reach out to you? What kind of problems are they having or trying to solve?
When anybody asks like what we do, we typically say we like to work on interesting problems with good people using web technology. So it can be anything from funded startups to giant e-commerce solutions to, you know, corporations that maybe are more medium-sized and don't have their own web development team.
Okay.
Gotcha. Right, right.
And everything in between.
And so what about mobile? I mean, what's happening in the mobile world in terms of the demand?
There's a ton, obviously. You know, everybody's browsing on their phones. I just saw the other day that... the new version of Apple's Watch OS is going to support WebKit. So
I know. I saw that.
Going to see some websites on your tiny, tiny screens.
I know. I saw that. Well, the screen's a little bit bigger than my Fitbit.
That's right. That's right. But mobile, I mean, you know.
What does that do to the glasses industry?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Who knows, right?
I think they're in cahoots. They're in cahoots.
That could be.
I really think that there's some pattern going on there.
Yeah. So
kinds of solutions. And people are actually creating transactions off of that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they're purchasing.
Back in the day, I remember people saying, there's no way anybody would buy something on their phone. People spend, I mean, my wife and I shop on our phones all the time. You know, Amazon, something simple.
Amazon,
like that.
I do a lot.
Yeah, of course, right?
See it, click, boom, done.
Right. So all the solutions these days, especially around e-commerce, if you're going to build something for a native app, a native solution, like, you know, native to the Apple operating system or Android or one of those, a lot of those you can actually build with web technologies now. You get the benefit of serving all of that content to people via the website, but then also with some slight modifications, you can serve it in a more customized
and
native
its own application.
Yeah.
So in China, this has been going on a really long time. People have been purchasing off of their mobile devices for a long time. It's taken a while for us in the United States, but now it seems like it's just like a hockey stick. Are you seeing that?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's because, you know, it took a little longer to catch up here because we had to relearn our paradigm. You know, you go to China or even where, you know, most of banking, it takes place on mobile phones in Africa because that's all they've ever known and that's the technology they have in their hand. But
so
now
that's a good point.
Yeah,
so the
interesting.
Good point
right,
is
right.
that we're sort of stuck in some linear process where other people leapfrog us
yep.
because they've got the tools.
Yeah, and it's, you know, all they've ever known. They're digital, native. Like if you've ever seen a 2-year-old with an iPad, like as long as it works intuitively and they can swipe and screen, they do really, really well with it.
They can buy things.
As soon as, right? yeah. as, soon
whether
as you
their
put
parents
a button
know it
in
or
front
not.
Of them,
they can buy things.
Like they have to stop and think like, oh, why is this interface getting in the way of me interacting yeah. with the content?
I've actually heard it's actually interfering with some children's actual development with motor skills. Like they don't learn some of the things that children normally learn, like with
really?
Moving and grabbing and grasping objects
yeah,
that are
can,
nearby.
Instead, yeah. they can point.
Yeah, they can swipe and pinch swipe. And squeeze. But yeah, so it's just it's
that's
just
interesting.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm just saying. So what brought SparkBox to Pittsburgh? I was really pumped
yeah,
to know that you guys
what about
you
that?
Have a really cool operation going on in Dayton, and you're right. bringing some of that to Pittsburgh, which we think
yeah.
is freaking awesome.
There are some brilliant folks in this town. So, you know, in Dayton, we've sort of started there. We've grown there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a smaller town.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot happening here in the tech scene. And I think for us, it's
oh,
never.
So you thought you'd just move right in.
Well, we thought we would come and like, yeah, try to like build an organization here. You know, we want to get to know the community. There is a strong tech community here. We've had for a long time many friends from the industry that are based here,
right.
And we've always heard them talking about the great stuff that's mm-hmm. happening. So when we came and visited, actually, I think we came over and spoke at a Refresh, one of the meetups, local tech meetups,
right?
And we made some connections with some just really great folks, and we hired one of those. And then when when we announced that we were hiring, folks saw that we had somebody in Pittsburgh, and so we started getting all these applications from
Believe
Pittsburgh
it.
Tech folks, and we were like, this could make a lot of sense, you know. So,
so when are you moving here?
When are we moving here?
Yeah,
oh, you
on.
Have to talk to my wife about that.
We've already been talking to her, and she's pretty much
she's on board.
Yeah,
she's on board.
All right.
Just
yeah.
so you know, we've been
news
working.
To me.
Don't
you've
worry.
Not contacted my wife yet. I'm sure of that.
Well, she's next. She's next. Yeah,
she's next.
Good luck.
Right, we actually have a lot of family in Dayton. We love, you know, we love that this part of the country where it's just people are hard workers.
Mm-hmm.
They put their heads down, but they also have a life outside of their jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried to build a place where that's kind of what we're.
We need the first part of the hyperloop to connect from Pittsburgh
right.
to Dayton.
Hey,
and you could be here like in like
how
a minute
far is
and a
Dayton
half.
From Columbus?
We get. Oh, it's from Columbus? It's only an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because the Hyperloop will go.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds
saying,
great.
Then you'll a little spur. Just go right up into Dayton there.
Yeah.
Or do a curve and a bend to it or something.
No, that's okay. You're going to have to drive.
Okay.
You can't make it so easy.
I want them to have the Hyperloop
for
crying
out
loud.
So what is your typical client, even though you've talked about
like
the
diversity of
clients? Funded
yeah.
startups to mid-sized companies. But what have you found, at least in Pittsburgh, that's been your typical client? Is there
yeah.
any kind
we,
of persona?
Yeah, so we haven't really come here because of there's a client or something here. So we, it's really, for us, our customers are a lot of our customers are based out on the coasts. The ability for organizations to keep a team like ours running in a space in San Francisco is just
no
so
way.
Expensive.
No, it's just not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of movement towards, you know, cities like Pittsburgh where there's a great tech scene already starting to kind of be built to start to build teams. So we work with big organizations out there in retail. We work with our local utility. We've done a lot of work in that space, but we've also done a lot of work, like Rob mentioned, just helping a company get a product built.
Okay.
So
exactly,
so we've got organizations that we've completely rebuilt.
So,
their
do you want
products.
People in Pittsburgh to know you're here?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right
yeah.
there in downtown Pittsburgh, and in the
industrious,
space.
Industrious, in a
yeah.
beautiful space.
I was gonna
yeah.
say,
right?
It really
beautiful
is.
Beautiful views.
It's gorgeous.
I mean,
yeah.
we got the chance to tour it before it was even open. It was still mm-hmm. drywall and
okay.
concrete floors.
You
and
knew
all
it was
that.
Gonna be cool.
And
oh, yeah.
just walking into that space and seeing the
yeah.
views, it was like, this is a no-brainer for us to have a turnkey solution here where we didn't have to have an office manager worry
yeah.
about how to get the internet connectivity.
That's great. Hats
walk
off
in.
To Industrious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
stuff. So we've got about a minute or so left.
Okay.
Anything else we should know about SparkBox, and where can we go to learn more about SparkBox?
I would say, you know, one of our kind of the core things that we focus on is education. So we run a lot of workshops. We're talking about the idea of bringing some some pretty well-known speakers. We do that in our office in Dayton. We're talking about maybe bringing some of those folks to Pittsburgh.
Great.
Just to try and really help develop the community. And,
awesome.
That's one of the things we love to do.
And your website?
csparkbox.com.
csparkbox.com. And it's a really nice website.
Thank you.
Telling
nice
you guys,
to see you.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah,
and we're glad you're in Pittsburgh.
So are we.
Keep building business here. We love it. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council and its 35 years helping Pittsburgh's tech sector by going to pghtech.org.
Welcome back, everybody. So glad you are spending your night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. Every single Friday night, we bring you the best and brightest of what's making Pittsburgh tick. And I tell you what, cybersecurity is no joke. It freaks me out. It keeps me up at night. It should keep everybody up at night because it's one of our biggest vulnerabilities, really, at the end of the day. Whether you click on something, whether you fall for something, it can not just hold your personal stuff into some sort of craziness, but also businesses. It can take down whole things. And I'm really excited because we have the National Cyber Forensics and Training Alliance with us today. Steve Mancini, who leads it up here in Pittsburgh. We always call it the NCFTA for short. That's our acronym for it. And they're actually neighbors with the Pittsburgh Technology Council right upstairs from us. And these folks do some, just crazy work for keeping us safe and really just spreading the word out as so everyone can keep themselves safe. Because it is a wild, weird, wicked, nasty world out there. And I'm sure Steve is going to say it's worse than you would ever think. And what we're going to be doing, actually, what I'm really pumped up about is we're going to make this a regular installment because this is such important stuff. And the landscape keeps changing so quickly that we're actually going to have a podcast. We're going to hope to, maybe every 6 weeks or so, pop out a new interview with Steve or someone else from the NCFTA to talk about the latest trends that are going on with cybersecurity. We want to arm you with knowledge so you can be prepared and ready for what's out there next. So, Steve, thanks for hanging out with us.
Not a problem. Glad to be here.
Quickly, tell us about your background and then give us a quick elevator pitch for the NCFTA, and then we're going to jump into all the crazy stuff that's going on out there.
No, good stuff. Just a little background about me.
Sure.
I am the Chief Technical Officer at the National Cyber Forensics Training Alliance. I've been here for about 5 years. I am a Pittsburgh native. Very proud of that.
Came back to Pittsburgh to lead this up.
You know, it's funny because they all say you all come back. I remember leaving at a young age of 17 to go off to the Navy, and 20 years later, here I am again.
So. Awesome, man.
But good news, the potholes that I left behind are still here.
They're here. Don't
they're not going anywhere.
They're filling up with water and it's getting bigger. It's all good.
Great little fishing ponds. So, again, I'm the CTO and the Director of Strategic Operations at the National Cyber Forensics and Training Alliance. A little about NCFTA.
Yeah.
We are a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. Again, we're located here in Pittsburgh. We're headquartered out of Pittsburgh. We do have two kind of field offices in New York and LA. And we've been around since 2002, and what we've done that's really made us unique is that we've created what we like to call Cyber Switzerland. It's a neutral kind of collaborative environment for law enforcement and industry and different entities that would not normally collaborate or share information. What we've done is we've said, we're going to be kind of that Cyber Switzerland. Come to us. Bring your information to us. We'll connect the dots. And then we can do this kind of in an unclassified, trusted environment and then push out kind of the larger picture. So when you have these one-off incidents that people say, well, I don't know where to go to, or you know, I go to law enforcement, I go to the government,
and they can't
help me because it's not big enough. Or, you know, we just never seen this before and we think it's unique. It's like, no, it's not. This has been going on everywhere, and you're not unique. Sorry, you're not. You know, you're not the only victim. Which
just
is like
happens all the time.
That's right. And so what we do is we take these different pieces of information. We build out a kind of cyber threat landscape, and it's everything from the technical aspect of the cyber crime or the cyber, I'll call it cyber badness,
right,
to just good old fashioned crime that's enabled,
good old fashioned crime.
It never goes away.
Crime ain't what it used to be, right?
There's still a prince out there who has, you know, $20 million in euros that he's just waiting for me to send my $1,200 deposit to get him out of jail.
Get him out of jail.
But so those things exist, and those are those cyber enabled crimes.
Right.
And so we're dealing with all of that because I think what we're in position to do, because of this information sharing that we're enabling, we're we're able to differentiate, you know, what is just crime where the computer just happened to be the tool versus what is a technical aspect. And, oh, by the way, we're doing it cross-sector, so we're doing it with the retail, the finance, manufacturing, utilities, and then we're doing it with different government entities, different law enforcement. We're doing it national, international. Again, we're located in New York, L.A., so we've got all these other folks that are seeing things that maybe it's kind of, I don't want to say geographically specific, but more to like a niche market, like, you know, whether it's a commodity that's being counterfeited in New York, right, or whether it's, you know, financial nexus, or maybe it's the entertainment industry, which might be focused in LA. Maybe it's international. We do have a lot of international partners. So we're touching a lot of things that are just both techie and what I'll call traditional cyber-enabled crimes.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that sounds like you'd have a lot of fun checking this stuff out, but at the same time being really freaked out. At the end of the day, really, you're the first line to actually see some of these breaches and these attacks, and you keep us safe by being able to solve these things and then recognize them as you see more attempts happening.
Funny you said, because again, that's the power, is when you have all of these entities coming together, And they're all trying to solve the same problem. If there's one thing we do very well, is that by kind of combining forces, we're able to come up with the mitigation, the best practices, and okay, while this company is kind of the victim, I mean, somebody's got to be, you know, patient X,
exactly,
patient
right,
zero.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that. Now we can go out and prevent, you know, other folks from being a victim. At the same time, we're working with law enforcement because, and I've said this before and I'll continue to say it, we can all pretend like it's a fantasy person out there doing this, but the reality is it is simply somebody on a keyboard doing something bad.
Exactly.
Whether they're sitting in a coffee shop, you know, in West Africa, whether it's some, you know, fantastic software developer in Russia, you know, whether it's some kind of criminal group out of China, whether it's the North Koreans targeting, you know, whatever it is.
Exactly.
There are people.
You're making
on,
me scared now, Steve.
And you should be, my friend.
I'm
you
freaked
be.
Out.
We're just going to keep plugging everything in, and it's going to get all better, right? But again, we're trying to tell people, look, it's a body on a keyboard at the end of the day, and if you help law enforcement, you know, neutralize that body on the keyboard, that's really what's going to stop the badness. Because, you know, again, and I kind of jokingly said it, we are plugging every possible thing we can, and what we're doing is we're creating a bigger target space for bad guys to go after. And since we're connected all over the world, you know, there are countries that simply just don't want to cooperate with us. So
exactly,
these bad guys can operate with impunity, and they can keep targeting. And they're like, hey, you want to plug in your egg, you know, your egg carton, so you can determine whether you need eggs, or you know what, you want to remotely control whether your air conditioner's on from your smartphone. Perfect. You want to unlock your house from your smartphone? Perfect. Because we've got 0 days and we can get onto your smartphone and we'll have a little fun with you. So, you know, we do it to ourselves at the end of the day.
I guess, yeah, because all these conveniences are creating vulnerabilities.
I mean, God forbid we have to actually go to the store to buy eggs and milk. Now we can
unlock my own doors and
call me crazy.
I
still have the audacity to look at the egg cart and say, well, I need eggs versus waiting for something to tell me time to buy eggs.
Time to buy eggs.
Like, come on, really?
Just reminding our listeners, we're talking to Steve Mancini of the NCFTA, right upstairs from us here at the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And I tell you what, I mean, I see the law enforcement folks here. I see folks coming to you guys because you're there to help them. And it just actually amazes me. I think we're so lucky to have you guys as a center here in Pittsburgh, really at the center of all these crazy threats that are happening out there. So I'm just wondering if we can maybe just run through a couple examples or some ideas just to get our listeners a little more and to know as a common person out there, you know, who's a little computer savvy, you know, they use their email, maybe they unlock their doors with their smartphone. What kind of threats are out there right now that are the most common ones that people should really just be aware of right
sure.
now?
So, I again, this kind of comes back to is it technical versus non-technical, mm-hmm. meaning cyber-enabled.
Right.
From a business, and I'll just give you one kind of example.
Surely.
With a cyber-enabled piece.
Okay.
So, good old-fashioned, it's called business email compromise, and I think a lot of folks are starting to get aware of this. So no matter what size, say, company you are, whether you're a small company, a large company, doesn't matter.
Right.
You're a target. Why? Because you have an email system. You have an email system, and a lot of times you're probably not walking down to the bank to make a payment. You're probably doing things, you know, know, online, you know, you're doing wire-to-wire transfers, you're doing, you know, account transfers, whatever. So bad guys say, okay, that's the process. So how do they make a payment? Well, you know, John is in charge of our finances, and he makes the payments, and he sends them to these accounts. So all I need to do is convince John, instead of sending it to account A, to send it to account B. So BEC is more about a cyber-enabled piece of sending an email to a company and saying, hey, I want you to wire, you know, $12,000 to this new, you know, account that we've set up and got it. And so he does it. And you say, well, that's crazy. You're telling me that, you know, people will actually wire money without verifying it, you know.
All the time.
Sure. I think since 2013, I think we're up to about $5 billion in reported losses.
Wow.
So, again, how does something like that get solved? Well, it's simple. Anytime, you know, you're being told to wire money through email, maybe you pick the phone up and you verify the transaction.
Or when someone a little old school, right?
Call me crazy. Or maybe if someone says, hey, we're changing our payment information. Okay, call me. Let's confirm these things. And if you do these simple tasks, that goes away.
It makes it a lot harder for you to be hacked as far as that.
Now, on a technical side, it's a lot of the same. Nothing's changed. 0 days are written, maybe known vulnerabilities, and everyone wants to pick on Equifax. I'll jump in line to pick on Equifax.
Yeah.
You know, you
Me
had
too.
It, right? I mean, hey, it's our data that's compromised, and the reality is it's compromised forever. Your data is out there. 143 million records are compromised.
Frightening.
And, you know, don't worry, you get your 1 free year of credit monitoring.
Oh, yeah, I'll keep
because,
you safe.
Right. Well, I'm a credit monitor, not a... But again...
Exactly.
But throw that out. I'm sure your Social Security number is going to expire after a year.
It will, yes.
Right. So, but there's a good example of a technical piece. All they had to do was something as simple as patching. So what you're finding is a lot of these bad things that are happening, they're not anything new. You know, a business email compromise email comes in and says, do something. Okay, our process might be as simple as, you know, verify our payments. Or, you know what, call us crazy, but we're going to patch, especially the front door that people can get in. You know, or when I get emails, I'm not going to just click on things. I'm going to actually say, hey, did you really send this?
Exactly.
So it's common sense approaches, and I think if people would just incorporate that and actually exercise that, a lot of this would go away.
This is why I'm so excited that we're going to have more of this coming. I think these are very practical things that will keep people safe and in the know. So remind everybody, just keep checking back to pghtech.org or pghtechfuse.com, and also go to ncfta.net as well, too, because they got great stuff on their site all the time. We want to keep you in the know and keep you safe. I'm so happy to be hanging out with guys like Steve Mancini here from the NCFTA. Simple as that. So, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. I look forward to doing more of this with you
in
the near future here. Good stuff.
Thanks, Ken.
We're taking a break. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and then follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Alrighty, nothing better than a Friday night where we get to talk to the best people in Pittsburgh, Audrey. Seriously, Pittsburgh is just so full of the greatest people.
So many stories to tell.
So many stories to tell. People working at all different levels. And I don't know, when it comes to what we're going to talk about now, really near and dear to my heart, I know your heart as well too, Audrey, when it comes to really getting kids engaged, getting them the right skills, getting them fired up about lifelong learning, about looking at tech as a place to work and
all
apply
the things
themselves.
You did not have.
All the things I did not have, which is why I'm hosting a radio show on a Friday night talking about the people that do. So right. I'm making up for lost time. That's all I can say.
He has no technical skills.
Zero.
So let's see who we have in the house right now.
Absolutely.
We have...
Terry Sweka Reed, President and CEO of Phase 4 Learning Center.
And I'm Aaron McKinnon. I'm the coordinator of Best Buy Teen Tech Center.
Oh, okay. So we have a collision of the minds here, right?
Yeah.
He's like, yes.
Something like that.
Okay. So talk a little bit about the mission, what you do, how you work together.
Start with Phase 4, give our listeners a little bit of what you guys do, and then we'll talk about how you linked up with Best Buy and all that.
Yeah, sure. It's been one heck of a journey.
Yeah.
But I founded Phase 4 15 years ago, and we started with one program, working with at-risk youth.
Right.
And 6 students, 1 school district, and throughout the 15 years, we have grown and expanded our mission from working with one population to various populations, to help them with their educational needs, their behavioral, their future planning, career needs. So we really work with those individuals and families who are disengaged, disengaged, disadvantaged, don't always all have all the opportunity as many others do as well.
Gotcha.
But we've also expanded the mission to work with the changes that's happening in Pittsburgh
right.
for the careers, and especially the technology changes that have, exactly. that have occurred. So yeah. we're working a lot with employers, training, career exploration, connecting adults, kids to various careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's where the Best Buy Teen Tech Center comes in. Best Buy Teen Tech Center is an after-school program that focuses on multimedia technology.
Yeah.
Everything from music production, video production, web design, graphics. It's a full maker space. We do Raspberry Pi.
You're talking about all the fun stuff. Let's go.
Exactly, I'm in. All the fun
Let's
stuff
go.
That
Let's go.
We didn't have, right?
So where is this learning center?
Okay, it's located 5850 Center Avenue, right yeah. next to Whole Foods.
Okay.
And ever-changing East Liberty.
Right. And ever-changing East
Liberty.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
You can walk down the street, and you can see big windows of everything that's going on. You can look right in.
You need people to see that so they can be like, I want to be a
yeah,
part of this.
Yeah, we got 3D printers in the windows yeah. running to stop in.
That's great. So what's it like there after school?
Like, what's it like?
Yeah. So tell me, if I was a young person and I came in, what could I expect?
Okay. So when you first walk into the Teen Tech Center, after you're just amazed by, right, the
exactly.
best colors
right.
and everything that's going on, you're going to find an environment that's inclusive and diverse for everybody, right? We have adult mentors that work with youth on projects of their choosing,
okay.
as well as there's some group activities that's going on. So a youth never has a bad day. I mean, even if you come in and you just want to sit and talk about what's going on in school and your life,
right.
that's available. If you want to learn a new project, we have Spark cards that we can pull out, that you can learn something different that you never tried before.
Nice. You can actually just kind of like...
Never have a bad day.
Never have a bad
Love
day.
Love it, man. That's what I'm talking about.
That's our goal. That's our goal. We want to make this the best part of every child's day or every individual's day who comes to yeah. phase four of the Teen Tech Center.
So how long Absolutely. Has the Tech Center been there? And then how did you guys link up and come together on this?
Well, actually, the Teen Tech Center just opened. We just did a grand opening
right.
in April.
Okay.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and you folks were pretty involved with that. And it actually came from our 13-year partnership with the Clubhouse Network, which is based out of Boston. Mm-hmm. So we ran a computer clubhouse, which is one of 100 clubhouses in the world.
Gotcha.
And we would connect kids through technology through 20 other countries. And in, I believe it was 2015, Aaron, we hosted the international Clubhouse?
2016, we had the conference
16,
here.
16, okay. Wow.
Yeah. International conference, 20 different countries represented. All of them had a little terrible towels raving in the conference.
Yeah. Nice. We made steal our fans out of everybody who
That's
was here.
That's right, man.
But it really does speak to the international community that we are involved in, that our kids here in Pittsburgh get a chance to reach out and do collaborative projects with other clubhouses from Denmark to...
Oh, really? From around... So they're collaborating...
around the world.
What's the mechanism for them to communicate?
Okay, so... Well, one, the clubhouse was founded at the Museum of Science, Boston, MIT Media Lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's
right.
there's an internal website that we have called the Clubhouse Village where kids get to interact with each other.
Okay.
Right? Every other year, there's a teen summit. This is our year for Teen Summit, too. So
okay.
we take about 3 kids to Boston. Every clubhouse and Teen Tech Center does, so it'll be about 300 kids... working on different technology tracks all week long, staying at Boston University on the college dorms, right? So they get a chance to work on things that affect their communities, like financial literacy or food deserts or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it is. And they use different means of technology to tell that story.
Mm-hmm. Power,
and so how long have
stuff.
You been
yeah.
working at this?
Oh, I've been with the... I've been with the Clubhouse Network.
Aaron's a lifer.
Yeah.
He's with his lifer. Yeah, yeah, he's
well,
a lifer. Yeah. Right.
I don't know, 13, 14, some years. Wow. I had hair then. So,
did you?
Yeah.
He did, and less of a beard.
No beard. Yeah.
It's just shifted a little bit.
So why do you think this matters, this work matters?
Oh, this work is imperative. I mean,
imperative?
It's imperative. I mean, technological fluency is a necessity right now. And
mm-hmm.
what you got to understand is kids are using technology any ways. Mm-hmm. Kids are using technology. So you want to be the spot where they can come and learn even more what they're doing. And I always say, I'm going to teach you what you like to do for fun and show you how to make funds from it. Right?
It,
because
man.
That's, because
Ooh,
that's,
I like that.
That's where it's going anyway.
That's
right?
what I'm talking about. Yep.
Yeah. That's great. So So every day is a special day in many ways.
Every day is a special day.
And where do these kids come from? Like all over the city?
Kids come from all over the city, all different neighborhoods.
All 90 neighborhoods.
All 90 neighborhoods.
All 90 Absolutely. Neighborhoods. Yeah. And yes. How do people get the word out about what you're doing? Other than being on our radio show.
Yeah. Is there a website? Where can we go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we do have a website. It's kid was working on it, actually. It's a Wix website. So it's www.phase4lc.wixsite.com/Best Buy Teen Tech. Right?
That's a lot.
A little long.
That's right.
But all the ingredients are in there for you to remember.
Exactly. No, you Google any part of that and you're going to hit on
absolutely.
It.
So any adults come and hang out?
Yeah, we definitely, I believe in having parental involvement, right? So there are definitely some moms that come in. I don't believe in 5 mile an hour parents. You know, you slow the car 5 miles and kick them out and keep going.
No, That's what I did.
I invite
That's
everybody
what I did.
In.
You need a break.
Yeah, that is true.
You need a break.
That is true. But I also like the whole feel of a community working on something.
I do too.
Right?
Totally.
Because
I do too. And then you get to meet other kids, so you can just ignore your kid.
Right.
And then hang out with other kids.
Right? And you never know what somebody brings to the table. Either, right.
That's what I'm saying. I bring, you know, other kids like me better than my own. So
that's hard to believe.
It is not. But no, I'm saying that. It's also parenting doesn't mean just your own.
Right.
That's what I meant.
I totally believe that.
That's totally
so
right.
So now that it's the summertime, the kids are out of school. They really need stuff to do. Are you really ramping up now that it's summertime? I'm hoping there's kids knocking down the door.
Oh yeah, I'm going full force.
I was gonna say you're like going 24/7 there.
Yeah, yeah, it's already going. So I mean, in addition to participating with the Learn and Learn program, we're gonna have students there working on some other stuff. There's workshops available from music production, video production. There's a Raspberry Pi workshop that we got going on. We also have a digital skills program where kids can get out of their Google IT certification. And
this is going on full day in the summer?
I'm down there from 9, 10 to 7.
Oh my goodness.
7 a.m.
Full day. Yeah. All day.
And so people can just drop in?
Yeah, it's a drop-in program. You can come in. At your leisure. I love the space. That's why I'm always down there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that's obviously that's where you live then.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I live.
So Aaron, you're definitely a geek at heart then. Like what got you interested in this type of work?
Right.
Obviously you had a passion for technology and you got a passion for kids, right?
Star Trek, Geordi LaForge.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even gonna lie, I was a big Star Trek guy, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
That's what I grew up on, that's what I watched, and I was always amazed by it and just jumped off from there. So yeah, I always say I'm bringing the swag back to STEM, right?
Love it,
because
man.
Bringing the swag back to STEM. I like that.
Yeah, because I am a geek at heart, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's cool.
No, it's very
nothing
cool.
Wrong
there's nothing wrong with being
cool.
creative, nothing wrong with learning and
exactly.
Wanting to do more.
We need to get you guys engaged with the Create Festival next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be a great format, I think, for to showcase the talent of some of the students and the kids that have been through
the
program.
The kids would love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, they could say, hey, I was at the Best Buy place developing this.
Right.
And they could show it off at Create or something like that. Like, that would be so much fun. So I'm just, I don't know, this is why I think it's so much fun to have folks like you stop by the show to talk about these cool intersections. This is where good things tend to happen. So
great things.
Sure. And you're changing kids one kid at a time in the sense of a community.
Definitely.
Yeah. One kid at a time.
Because you said you want every child to have a great day.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
absolutely.
That's what resonated
absolutely.
With me.
Absolutely.
Me too. Me too. So we got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
So anything that people need to know, if they want to participate, obviously you can drop in almost any time of their hours. Like what are the parameters for people to engage with this?
Right. They can drop in. They can phone us. They can make if they want a personal appointment to come in and sit and talk and learn more about the Clubhouse and the Teen Tech Center. Absolutely, we can accommodate anyone's individual needs. We can take groups also. We've had school districts calling to do tours of the site, because we have a full recording studio and editing studio there as well.
Too much fun.
Oh my, it's this endless opportunities for this technologically changing region.
We need to do a Tech Vibe radio from your studio.
That would be awesome. Wow. That would be
dope.
Let's make that happen.
And then I could bring out the Mevo and then we could have it streamed live. And that'll be awesome too.
Let's do it, man. Yeah. We'll make it happen. Gosh. We'll make it happen.
And then definitely I can sing my three
and
notes.
Then you can sing the three notes.
Exactly.
And I can come in with the chorus.
So cool. I'm so glad
what
you guys stopped
idea.
By.
Thank you.
Fool them today. What can
you
I say?
Really are. I'm so proud of you, Jonathan.
I try my best.
Thanks, Audrey. So
thank you guys for the work that you're doing. Oh, you're the ones making the difference here.
Yeah.
We're just trying to promote it. So
we're just riding your coattails.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Anyhow.
Sounds good.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah, thanks to our listeners for tuning in and getting these great stories
thank
every Friday
you,
night with Tech Vibe. Yeah,
I'd like to
best.
Thank you this afternoon.
Well, you're welcome, Audrey. You're welcome. Too much fun. And you know, every Friday night we try to have this much fun on Tech Vibe Radio.
It is.
We swear. And I remind our listeners to keep tuning in because we're trying to tell these great stories of what's really making Pittsburgh the city that it is today. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. So learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. 35 years we've been trying to make this stuff happen. Whittling away at it. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.